from the Alzheimer's Association, Hudson Valley Chapter. Ongoing educational programs and support groups in Dutchess, Orange, Putnam, Rockland, Sullivan, Ulster, and Westchester counties. ALZ.org.
Welcome to the local edition, local news and information keeping you connected in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. And tomorrow at Tech City in Kingston, there's a special screening of a movie called Lily Topples the World. It's about a 20-year-old who's the world's greatest domino toppler. We'll be talking to the director of that film coming up in the second half of the program. But first, it is Thursday here on the Local Edition. Time for our weekly check-in with Wayne County. And this week, Wayne County is hiring. There are jobs, job openings in the Wayne County Office of Human Services and county government in general. On the phone with us now to tell us more is Tara Gross, Human Resource Analyst for the Wayne County Office of Human Services. Hello, Tara. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So this is true. Before we go into the job offers, can you describe the Office of Human Services and what you do?
Sure. So the Office of Human Services is an arm from the county. It encompasses agencies like children and youth, behavioral health, behavioral and developmental programs, and early interventions. Drug and Alcohol Commission, the Area Agency on Aging, Transportation, and we also have a housing department that assists individuals in our county that are facing homelessness.
And you're a human resource analyst. Are you mainly just focusing on the employees that accomplish these things, or are you doing other stuff to make this all happen?
So I focus on the employees that are within those agencies. We, as an agency, we value our employees. We try really hard to show that they do matter and that we value their team effort as well as their innovation. And we strive to create an atmosphere where they are able to participate and provide input as a team.
Okay, great. So we heard that there's some job openings open, and that's why we're talking tonight. What is available? What type of positions are open in Wayne County right now?
Currently, we have various positions. They are all civil service positions. So in order to apply for our positions, they would need to go to the Bureau of Talent and Acquisition, which used to be civil service. And there they would see a list of opportunities that are available for Wayne County. We have positions such as a residential program worker. We have an accountant position, an administrative assistant position. We also have a couple clerk positions that are available. One in our drug and alcohol, as well as one in our behavioral and health.
Okay, great. So if people are in any of those fields, what should they know? What should they do?
The best thing to do is to go to employment.pa.gov and create a login account. By doing that, they're able to set notifications that will notify them when we do post new positions, as well as on there, they'll be able to see all the positions that are available. Once they go to that site, they would click open position or open jobs, and then they would do open to public, and then they can filter it by Wayne County because it will list all of the employment opportunities for Pennsylvania.
Okay, great. And just give that website one more time.
Sure. It's employment.pa.gov. And if anyone has further questions, they're more than happy to reach out to myself and I can walk them through And I can provide our phone number, which is 570-253-4262.
Okay, let's repeat that number again, too, if people want to catch that. What was that again?
Sure, it's 570-253-4262.
Okay, great. And what would you say to folks that were considering possibly working in Wayne County? What would you tell them about working for the county?
Well, I will say it's a family atmosphere, and it's an opportunity to provide a stable income for your future as well, because we do offer a deferred pension plan. And what that is, our defined pension plan. And what that is it's a pension plan that guarantees you a set income when you do retire. And that income is based on your salary as well as the number of years in service and your age. But that, especially with the way life is, it's really important to invest in your future so you have something when you do retire, and a defined pension plan is like the best that's out there right now.
Do you tend to get a lot of people applying from outside of the area, or a lot of people mainly come from within the county?
We actually have a variety of employees. They come usually within about five counties they come within Wayne County and then a couple counties that surround us, like Lackawanna, Pike, Monroe, Susquehanna. So it depends on where they're located, but they do drive in.
Right, right. And you don't have to answer this, you know, because it's personal, but I was just wondering how you came to work for the county, what your story is.
Absolutely. So I'm originally from Ithaca, New York, and I moved here about 4 years ago to the Wilkes-Barre area, and then ended up about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago now, moved to Honesdale. And I have a background in human resources from owning three gyms, and so I was really looking for an opportunity, one that would provide stability, and two, something that I knew I could grow with and have the opportunity for growth. And the county does just that.
Okay, great. Well, is there anything else that you want folks to know before we go?
No, I believe we covered everything. But if they do have any questions, tell them to definitely reach out to myself. I'd be happy to walk them through the application. Sometimes that does get a little confusing, but I'd be happy to walk them through it and help them as best as I can through that process. Because once they apply with BTA, they then send myself the applications and we go from there. So any confusion or any questions that they might have, I'd be happy to walk them through that.
Okay, well, let's give them your phone number two more times.
Sure. It's 570-253-4262. Again, it's 570-253-4262.
Wayne County is hiring. We've been talking to Tara Gross, Human Resource Analyst for Wayne County Office of Human Services. Tara, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us tonight.
Yes, thank you.
Good luck. This is Radio Catskill, the local edition, keeping you connected with news and information for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. We check in with Wayne County and Northeast PA every Thursday evening right at this time. Coming up, we have another live guest, so you want to stay tuned for that. But first, let's check in with Ron Bernthal, our longtime travel producer here at Radio Catskill. And we'll hear what his latest podcast is. You can find all of his podcasts at wjffradio.org/borders.
talking about the amount of producers that rock up here, specifically on the weekend in the summertime, but this is a week-run thing and 361 days a year, and number of producers that set up shop under those stalls, basically, okay? So about 150 of them, when it's in its height, that come in and bring their produce in from 10, 20, 30, 40 kilometers away from Montreal. So as, you know, the seasons change, the color changes, what's abundant, fresh, local, and often organic is brought in every morning and in the wee hours of the night. Some of them will go through the actual certification, like these guys here say Certifié Biologique on their sign, to get that licensing of being organic, where a lot of them won't because it's expensive and it's a lot of trouble. They just are. No pesticides anywhere.
Various vendors offer the group tastes of goat cheese, sausages, grilled breads and toppings, and wild mushrooms, all from Quebec farmers. Not far from Jean Talon, in a former industrial area, is Brasserie Hadakana, a new craft bar and restaurant in the trendy Mile X neighborhood. Chef Tremblay describes some of his new beer flavors.
So my name is Mathieu Garceau-Tremblay. So I'm a chef brewer here at Brasserie Cana. I was here since the beginning. So we opened in December 2014. So we celebrated our one-year anniversary last year. We're almost 2 years old. Since the beginning, I'm making the recipes, creating the recipes. So we made a few collaboration with food actors in the neighborhood here. So one of our nice beer is a brown mild brewed with coffee. It's a collaboration with Café Union right across the street. So it's a brown mild served on a nitro tap. So it's really creamy. I'm really proud also of the number four, which is a champagne beer. It's made with champagne yeast and muscat grape. It's our New Year's Eve beer. We also have the Christmas stout, which is 10% alcohol with rum and vanilla. Really intense and creamy. And there's a 21 we brew here all year long. It's our classical blonde ale. We brewed with local hops grown right up north in Laval. So we're really proud of using local ingredients as well in our beers. Yeah, a few years ago, this neighborhood here was really industrial. Lots of garages, car repair shops, and factories. And now it's changing for mostly residential and artist lofts. There's lots of studio, music studio around here as well. Neighborhood is changing. And the food scene is really growing as well in the neighborhood. So when we arrived, there were not many restaurants, and more are opening in the neighborhood. So it's becoming a huge scene for craft beer as well.
A lunch stop was made at Los Planas, a Salvadoran restaurant where we had delicious pupusas, the specialty of the house.
We wanted to show you. So this awning here, all of this awning basically is that Latino supermarket that Gladys worked at when she first immigrated to Montreal. They sort of like paved the road for this to become the Latino neighborhood. Okay, so you got barber shops and restaurants and other supermarkets in the area that start to grow. This section is actually what she's responsible for. So when Anne-Marie said she did the to-go counter, the sort of like cafeteria section, we're now up to maybe what 150,000 Latinos in Montreal. So for a population that's not that bad, which makes Spanish now the fourth most spoken language.
The Rosemont Borough, located about 3 to 4 miles from downtown Montreal, has a diverse collection of restaurants, artist studios, small manufacturing companies, and eclectic shops. Other favorite stops along the tour included the Southern Cuisine offered at Dinette Triple Crown and the hip atmosphere and outdoor patio at the restaurant Manitoba. For more information on Montreal neighborhoods, go to tourism, tourisme-montreal.org. Borders is produced at WJFF, an NPR affiliate station in Jeffersonville, New York. I'm Ron Bernthal.
River into a raging fire. I can live forever.
This year, the house where the Motown sound originated celebrates its 28th anniversary as the Motown Historical Museum. And a visit to this...
All right, and that was Borders with Ron Bernthal. You can find that's one of our podcasts at WJFFradio.org. Just click on podcast. You find all of our podcasts. You can subscribe to Radio Catskill Podcast wherever you subscribe to podcasts. This is a local edition. Stay tuned.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Somewhere Co. Summer Pop-Up Shop, offering art and design for the home from local and regional artists and makers. 26 Erie Avenue, across from the Narrowsburg Union. Some-ware.co. From Bethel Wood Center for the Arts, bethelwoodcenter.org. And from listener donations, at wjffradio.org.
On air, online, on your smartphone and on your smart speaker. Radio Catskill, keeping you connected.
Welcome back to the Local Edition, local news and information, keeping you connected in the Catskills, Northeast Pennsylvania, and the Hudson Valley. Tomorrow at Tech City in Kingston, New York, there's going to be a special drive-in screening of Lily Topples the World. It's happening at 9 o'clock. Tomorrow night, it's a documentary. It follows 20-year-old Lily Hevish, the world's greatest domino toppler, the only woman in her field, in a coming-of-age story of artistry, passion, and unlikely triumph. Film debuted at South by Southwest this year, and on the phone with us now is the director of the film, Jeremy Workman. Hello, Jeremy. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm calling you from Brooklyn, but I'll be up at this screening tomorrow. Really looking forward to it.
That's great. So, to just give some background on this, to make this movie, you followed Lily Hevish for 3 years? How?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that's so crazy is, like, there is an actual person named Lily. She's awesome. She's 19 years old when I started filming her. She's now 22. She's the world's most famous domino toppler. So not like domino, you know, the game, but like toppling dominoes where she makes those crazy, intricate, you know, structures and designs. And her videos, she's primarily famous on YouTube, where her videos have been seen over a billion times. And I followed her for 3 years, and it starts with her in her freshman year of college, and it follows her as she sort of becomes more and more of, like, almost like a global artist, a global icon. It's really, it's an incredible story.
Well, it's been a while for me, but I have watched domino toppling videos on YouTube in the past. I think they're pretty neat. So I've probably seen some of her work and just not necessarily remembered her name. How did you discover her, and how did the idea for this whole documentary come around?
Yeah, I mean, and just quickly, no doubt you've seen her videos because she is, you know, she's so kind of well known in this community. And, you know, if anyone has seen domino toppling online, they've seen her videos. I was finishing up another film at the time, which, interesting enough, was at Woodstock Film Festival, you know, the regular film festival, and that was called The World Before Your Feet. And that was about a guy who was walking every single street of New York City. Like, that's all he does, and that he had been doing it for 7 years. And that documentary was at Woodstock in, like, 2018, I'd say. And it was such a difficult movie to edit because it was just about this guy walking through New York, and it didn't really have a story. And I found myself, after each day of these, like, really difficult days of editing that movie, wanting to unwind on my couch. And I would sit there, turn on YouTube, and watch domino toppling videos. I just found them, you know, incredibly kind of transfixing. And then I got more and more interested and started realizing that all roads were leading to this one, you know, Asian American girl with a odd sounding YouTube channel. And I started just to kind of research that and get more interested. And that's when I kind of really got to discover and eventually know Lily and realize that it would just make for a great documentary.
Wow, that's great. So, and how, I mean, did you have to pitch the idea to her? Did you start filming, or did you, what was her reaction, and what was her family's reaction to this?
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, this is like my fourth or fifth feature documentary, by the way, which three of them now have played at Woodstock. Another one won the Audience Award a few years ago. It was called Magical Universe. It was about an outsider artist who did art with Barbie dolls. So generally, I always kind of originate my material. Usually there are things that I'm really interested in. With Lily, it was the first time I approached a movie as a fan. I mean, I was a fan of hers. You know, she has 3 million followers on YouTube. She's really well known. And, you know, the movie, you watch the movie and, like, wow, she's on The Tonight Show. She's on The Today Show. She's, you know, running around with, like, celebrities. You know, Katy Perry pops into the movie. Will Smith pops into the movie. So this was, like, sort of the first time I had ever approached somebody as a fan. And it really was just that. You know, I thought she would make just a really compelling story. I reached out to her. I connected with her family. You know, as your listeners will see the movie, the family is such a big part of the story because she's an adopted Asian American. She's a Chinese adoptee. So that story became so sort of part of the narrative. And, we just decided to, you know, take the journey. And 3 years later, it's now coming out.
You know, what does it mean for you as a director to, I mean, when did you finish work on this? Like, when were you, like, done with it?
I was literally done with this movie when it premiered at South by Southwest in March of this year. So, and it ended up winning the Grand Jury Prize for Best Documentary, which was really incredible. And I had finished it right, I had been editing it, like, right up until then. And it's interesting also, like, when people see the movie, there's almost, like, no references to the pandemic, which is also really interesting because it just worked out that that was the timing of how we filmed it together and then I went on to edit it. But, yeah, I was all over the country with Lily and then even in some places all over the world. Like, you know, there's scenes in Europe with her. There's scenes in Los Angeles and Seattle, all over New York. So it's just sort of like this broad vision of this young artist, this, you know, this Gen Z artist.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned that you're able to get like all of the material shot before the pandemic sets in. And that might be an added thing that film viewers like, you know, being able to not have that intrude. But at the same time, what happened last year in the wake of that is unfortunately a lot of discrimination against Asian Americans, Pacific Islanders following the pandemic. It's become the threat to that community, especially to women in that community, is people have become more aware of that in the past year. What does it mean to you as a filmmaker to have as a subject of your latest documentary at this time be a young Asian American woman who's making things happen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's such a big component. It was so kind of like not our intention to kind of be part of that, you know, that groundswell. But it's exactly that. You're watching this kind of joyous, exuberant movie about a young Asian American woman who's like kicking ass. And it's just kind of like, you know, especially in terms of everything that we've seen in the media and the news, it's, you know, so inspiring to watch that. And the other thing that is really neat in terms of it coming out now is that the movie is so kind of joyful and exuberant, and it's so much a celebration of the possibility of life. I mean, it's about a domino artist who becomes like, you know, more and more successful and famous and, you know, kind of, well, you know, loved. So there's something also really great about it, just in terms of like it coming out now after we've all kind of been through the challenges of the pandemic time.
I think, you know, for anybody who's listening that hasn't watched domino toppling videos online, if you're thinking like people set up dominoes like in a line or a design and then they knock them down, that's what we're talking about. But it's become this other thing to me in recent years, in the past decade or so, where these aren't just dominoes laid out in lines on the ground. These become 3D constructions that have height and depth, and there's so many different colors. They're not just black and white dominoes. I mean, part of how you're describing this film is that it's about the artistry, passion, and unlikely triumph of Lily. Let's talk about that artistry. What's the art of what she does?
I mean, I think you nailed it. You know, a lot of people, when they hear about domino toppling, they're kind of imagining something like on The Tonight Show, you know, or Johnny Carson, you know, where it would be like going a little curve and a little spiral. What Lily has done is she's sort of brought it into this whole other universe where, you know, kind of what you said, it goes vertical, it's 3D, she builds towers, she draws pictures, and she does like abstractions, and they're mind-blowing, you know? So she really has crossed over from being, hey, this is like a YouTube thing, into really somebody who's a kinetic artist, you know, and she's only 22. And, you know, obviously her approach is more from a YouTube perspective, but she has really become like this amazing kinetic artist. You watch these things and they're stunning. And the other thing that's kind of neat about the movie is, you know, it's almost like when there was that documentary last year about Michael Jordan, and you're watching like the greatest basketball player. It's a documentary about the greatest of his sport. Well, with Lily Topless the World, you're sort of watching Lily, and she is, you're watching someone who's the greatest at what she does. And, it's astonishing. Every domino topple in the movie will kind of blow you away.
You know, and Jeremy, you get to be there to watch the greatest at work. I guess what am I trying to say? In that time, did you ever get to set off a domino chain in all that time that you're filming? Or God forbid, did you ever accidentally knock over some dominoes?
So yeah, this was always a running concern for me and my crew, because as you know, as the listeners will see tomorrow when they see the movie, you know, I'm filming these domino things, and I'm not just filming them, you know, like with just a camera on a tripod. I'm filming it with like cranes and all kinds of different camera techniques, and where we're really in close with the dominoes. So this was always a huge, huge concern for everybody on our team. Like, what if we knock over the dominoes? And it was a huge concern for Lily and her collaborators as well. Like, here Lily's having a documentary on her, and like all anyone was worried about was like, oh my God, don't let them knock over the dominoes. So I can sadly report that I did knock over some dominoes and ruin some incredible pieces.
Oh, no.
But it wasn't that often. I got better and better as we went along. I did most of the shooting of the movie, and I learned just to kind of, you know, almost like Tai Chi, like walk amid all these incredible dominoes. But there were a couple times when I did knock something over, and, you know, they probably lost a day of work by something I had done.
Right, right. Yeah, well, that's all I was thinking about. I could never even venture to do that. The second I step foot in the room, I'd knock something over. I just know it. So
yeah, it's almost like a suspense movie. When you watch the movie, you're almost like, it's almost like a suspense movie. You're like, oh my God, I'm so tense because they're going to topple, and I feel like it's going to topple over. Oh my God, oh my God.
Well, that's a part of the appeal of the whole thing too, though. There's just this beautiful thing that's been created, and it's going to get destroyed, and it's exciting to watch it get destroyed, but how does it happen and when? That's all. There's an inherent suspense just into this whole field of domino toppling.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, it's such a unique art form, and it's kind of like in its infancy, too. You know, it's mostly people like Lily. You know, they're young, they're in their teens. A lot of the people in the movie are, you know, kids in their teens. So it has this kind of feel like it's just, they're just discovering this incredible thing, and they're all figuring it out together. So it's really neat.
The movie is Lily Topples the World. The director is who we're talking to, Jeremy Workman. I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I really appreciate it. I'm still looking forward to coming up there tomorrow. This will be, you know, kind of like, I know the Woodstock Film Festival is involved in the screening, obviously. So it's basically my third film with the festival, and I'm super excited to share it with everybody. And it's also such an early peek. You know, the movie is going to eventually come out, but this is a real early viewing. Not a lot of audiences have seen this movie at all.
Well, it's tomorrow at tomorrow's the drive-in showing at the Tech City in Kingston. Doors open at 7:30. The showing is at 9:00. And Jeremy, we'll welcome you back to the Catskills in Hudson Valley. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, that's going to do it for the local edition. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more right here on Radio Catskill.
This week in This American Life, who do you guys think is going to have the highest score?
I'm going to go with Jane.
Jane.
Our staff heard that there's a test that could literally measure whether or not you're a psychopath. So we took it, and we tried to predict who would score the highest.
I'm going to go Robin.
I'm saying Robin, too.
Well, now I'm going to change mine to Robin, actually.
I know. I think I'm the dark horse. I do. I kind of think it's me.
This week.
Saturday at 6 on Radio Catskill.
Did you know you can't copyright a song title? There are many songs with the same title. On the next Folk Plus, I'll be playing songs with the title Hold On. You got to hold on, hold on.
Hold on. Standing right here, gotta hold on.
Songs with the same title on the next